If you want to rock, you got to break the rules.
It's just a shame you missed out on rock and roll. It's over.
I hope we pass the audition.
Thought experiment.
And there used to be a way to stick it to the man. It was called rock and roll.
The pop song. It's often a catchy tune with a beat you can dance to and a chorus that burrows into your brain whether you want it to or not. The pop song usually starts out with a catchy little riff, then it follows a pattern of verse, chorus, instrumental, chorus, or something like that. And then there's the ending. Now, the ending can vary, unless you're AC/DC, who ended every single song, well, like this. Sometimes it's the classical cold ending, kind of like the end of a symphony. Or there's the cold sustain. Then there's the surprise awkward cut ending. Which, by the way, begins with the end of another song, but I'm getting ahead of myself. Then there's the fade out. We here at Beta's Rock and Roll Thought Experiment Laboratories, RARTEL, wanted to find out about the history of the pop song fade out. After some serious experimental thinking, we found that the first musical fade-out may have happened as early as 1916.
That was in Gustav Holst's The Planets.
That's Bill Weir, a music and technology writer who studied the history of the fade-out.
Holst wanted to capture this by having the sound of the singers fading out. And, of course, they had to do this live. And so the way they did that was they had the choir singing behind in another room, and they would gradually close the door as they were singing and bring the sound to a eventual silence.
So what did the Holst fade sound like? Well, it goes on like that for a while, so just imagine it fading out. We thought that that way of fading might have some other uses. Maybe in the workplace. Oh, hey, it's Beta host Doug Gordon.
Yeah, Steve, where are we at on that fade-out piece?
Well, I'm just about
to... We have to have everything buttoned up and...
That's great.
...and ready to post by early this week so we can give a big push on social. And we have to have...
Okay.
Steve?
Oh, hey, that works really well. As time went by and technology evolved, new methods to fade a song were developed.
They would actually have the recording equipment handheld. It was very heavy at the time, so they'd be very clunky. And while the musicians were playing, the person holding the equipment would actually walk away from the performers.
And then the big advance in fade technology came with the advent of the volume knob.
These go to 11.
That was a lot easier for the recording engineers, and it also sounded a lot more realistic.
So the years fade in and out, and pop tunes end with a fade from time to time, which leads to the golden era of the song fade out, which starts right around...
the 1950s or so.
But fade out a song? I mean, why not just do the old shave and a haircut ending? Or something. Why fade out?
Once they realized that they could do it very smoothly, very easily, and had a nice effect because they would go on the radio and they could transition from one song to the next. Just a nice effect to it. And the DJs liked it a lot. Allowed them to, as one was fading in, they could kind of talk over the fade out.
We got to close it out. That's it for the Wolfman Jack Show for tonight. Be back again tomorrow night. Bright-eyed and bushy-tail, gonna suck it to you tomorrow, baby.
Soon, it isn't enough just to fade out the song. Bands start getting creative with fades, in some cases using it to cover mistakes, like the Beatles on 1967's Magical Mystery Tour album. Once again, music writer Bill Weir.
Strawberry Fields was actually, there was a flub toward the end of it, and George Martin faded out before it got to that mistake, but then he liked the stuff that came after it so much, he decided to fade it back in. People loved it, and they figured the Beatles did it, on purpose. There was, it was all like an artistic statement on their part, not realizing it was just George Martin sort of getting around a mistake. Occasionally, you'll see people taking liberties from that. Life During Wartime, Talking Heads. That's where, usually you fade out during the chorus. Everything that you've heard, you've pretty much heard before. But in this case, David Byrne, the singer, he's actually singing an entirely new verse as it's fading out, which, you know, makes you wonder, like, how many lyrics are there to this song? I mean, are there, does he just go on forever and ever? Could he still be singing this song? Maybe psychologically, in some ways, we actually perceive it that way. I think there's actually a study where they had subjects listening to one song and then the same song again, the only difference being one has a cold ending and the other has a fade out. And they would have them tap along to the beat. And with the cold ending, they would actually stop like maybe about a second before the song itself ended. Whereas with the fade out, they would keep tapping 2 seconds after your complete silence. So in their heads, the song had kind of lived on beyond its own physical self.
Out of my head, it's growing.
The fade out began to lose favor with producers, and so the early 90s saw the beginning of the fade out apocalypse.
In 1993, that's actually when psychologists had the need for closure scale, which happens to be about the year when cold endings start to sort of encroach upon the fade outs. You know, shortly around that time also was the introduction of the iPod. That made it much easier to skip ahead to the next song. You know, with all these digital devices, our attention spans were getting shorter. So rather than, you know, wait out the last diminishing few seconds, why not just click onto the next song?
But what hope is there for folks who just like a good long fade out?
My sense is that we just wait it out. It's just a matter of fashion, and eventually it comes back. So if you like the fade out, my sense is, you know, I'm remaining optimistic about this, that it will come back.
Crash.
Hang in there.
We will, Bill. And not that you asked, but my all-time favorite fade out, if I had to choose one, it would be, what's that tune called? It's off their second album, you know. It's got that cool riff that kind of goes, wait, how does it go again? It's by that band, you know.
That was Steve Gotcher, Beta's senior rock and roll thought experiment correspondent. He spoke with writer Bill Weir about the history of the fade out. Fade in to WPR.org/beta for more. That does it for this edition of Beta. Thanks to our guests, Helen Phillips, Mark Jacobson, Chris Difford, and Bill Weir. If you want to hear it again or binge on past episodes, subscribe to the Beta podcast via iTunes or wherever you catch your favorite pods. And make sure to let us know what you think by leaving a rating or a comment. You can keep up with us during the week online at WPR.org/beta or on Twitter at WPRBeta. Beta is a production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Red Meat Productions.
You don't sell the steak, you sell the sizzle.
Special thanks to producer Carl Christensen.
So casual, like a house mouse.
Our music and technical director is Steve Gotcher.
Too much Cal Davis. We overthink things, you know what I mean?
Our executive producer is Adam Friedrich.
Come on, be a little bit more like me. Be a little bit of a jerk.
And thanks to you, our alphas. Until next week, I'm Doug Gordon.
But I support this guy. You know, I think that's what needs to be said.